Hey everyone, it's Ian. It's back to the archives this week. Now that Disneyland is starting to open back up to guests, we thought it'd be fun to go back to the time when Crystal was there last. We have something really exciting coming up soon, but in the meantime, take a listen to episode 89, So You're Going to Disneyland. Enjoy. Hello everyone! Welcome to WD Carousel Podcast. My name's Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
And we're going to bring back a series that I love but we haven't done in a while.
Yeah, the So You Want to Go to Disney series.
Yes.
This is going to be a one episode snippet.
This time around anyway.
Yes. And this is in result of me going to Disneyland for the first time.
Yeah.
So we figured out do's and don'ts and wanted to share them with everybody.
Right.
Because it is a completely different monster.
Yes.
So
Crystal, how was Disney? Let's talk. let's hear
do
about
an episode
this.
Where Crystal just talks.
Yeah.
It is a Disney vacation how everybody wishes they could do Disney World.
Okay.
But you can't. This is a park where you actually can just last minute show up.
Really?
And have no plans. And that really threw me for a loop, because after years and years of world experience and planning and knowing you need to do this at this time and reservations here and fast passes there and get everything lined up, it was a completely different world.
Yeah.
To
land even.
Yeah, to jump into, to figure out how to work, which was so weird because you would think since they're both Disney properties, they would function very similarly, but not really. So that's why we wanted to do this episode. First off, you don't have a Magic Band equivalent.
Weird.
Yes. They physically hand you a paper ticket. And it doesn't matter for your park passes or whatever. Here was mine.
Huh.
How many days you were there, you have a paper ticket.
Wow.
They take a picture of you at the turnstile, and you don't beep in. There's no fingerprint. It's nothing. It's just a picture. And they scan the little barcode, and you keep this. And this is also how you do your fast passes and your everything. You cannot lose this little piece of paper.
Wow.
Or else you will be in trouble.
Wow.
Yes. So that was very old school feeling to me.
Yeah.
And it kind of was intimidating that I could potentially lose this.
Right.
And
well, I would have to assume that they have a way to help with that, right?
Yes, but I believe that there is
a fee assessed
to getting a new one.
Wow.
Now, I can't confirm that because we were able to keep in touch with our paper passes, but that was the first thing that threw me for a loop, is there's a paper pass that you actually have to keep track of.
Because if you lose your Magic Band in Disney World, they will replace that for free.
Yeah, and it's really easy to, if you have multiple Magic Bands, to pop a ticket onto a different one.
Right, right.
This one, it's not easy at all. So, don't lose your little piece of paper. Next thing. There is fast passes at Disney World.
Yep.
Where we understand planning and having to do all of
the
that.
Fast Pass Plus system.
Yes. Yeah. In Disneyland, there is a system called Max Pass, which is basically fast passes, but you have to pay additional money.
Okay.
So, it's $15 per day per ticket.
Okay.
What that does is that allows you to plan fast passes day of.
Day of, okay.
As well as it gives you your photo pass pictures as well.
Okay.
So if you decide not to do the fast passes, I would still recommend one person in your party getting the max pass, because $15 to get all of your photos is a nice thing.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
But with this, though, unlike the Magic Band again, where it is telling where you are, it can tell what ride you're on.
Right.
It doesn't know where you are unless you scan in that barcode to be able to get the photos.
Gotcha.
So even though we had that option, we didn't really use the photos too much because we were on the rides mostly, and we didn't go to the little screen area at the end to beep in our card to be able to scan those photos.
I gotcha.
But if you're going to be there for an extended period of time or planning on doing a lot of photos, at least one of you guys should get the max pass. I think $15 per day is worth it to have photos of your vacation.
Right, because like one photo can be more than that.
Exactly. So let's talk about the app, because there is a separate app as well. Obviously, right. Walt Disney World has an app. Disneyland has an app. And it has some of the same features. So you can find out the... You can make reservations for dining.
Sure.
You can do mobile ordering for food, which we did as well. And then you can also see ride times and wait times to be able to help you get from place to place
right.
to place.
I gotcha.
On here also is where you schedule your Max Pass Fast Passes.
Okay.
It will not let you plan a Fast Pass until you are physically in the park and have already scanned your ticket. So that
gotcha.
Paper ticket, you have to be in the park. And then you can click, yes, we're in the park, and go. It
okay.
will be able to tell if you have not checked in for the day.
Wow. Okay.
So once you're in the park, then you can go ahead and look at what's available.
Okay.
And Fast Passes, they're still available if you don't want to pay the $15 per day, which is something that I didn't know about.
Oh.
But it's a paper Fast Pass, and you
oh.
have to go to the ride.
Like the OG Fast Pass
yes,
system. Yes,
oh, get
wow.
the paper Fast Pass scheduled, and then show up, and then you can't plan another one for 2 hours.
Regardless of if you go on the...
Correct.
Wow.
Versus the Max Pass, where you can get everything planned out from your app.
Yep.
And then you only have to wait an hour and a half in between rides, or go on the ride and then you can plan another one right away.
As soon as you've released that
so first fast if you
pass.
Decide to plan a Fast Pass that's a little bit later in the day,
right.
you have an hour and a half before you can get your next one.
Okay.
So there needs to be a little bit of strategy around that, but it's not like months and months of pre-planning
yeah,
what
right.
you want to do, where you're going to be.
Right.
You know, are you going to be able to do Splash Mountain and get wet, or is it going to be too cold? None of that matters.
Right.
Because you can just choose it right then.
Okay. Okay.
So that is, I think, a benefit for
sure.
the Max Pass.
Everyone is on the same playing field
exactly.
there. Exactly.
Yeah. And so that made us able to do a lot more than what we normally would in Walt Disney World.
Sure, sure.
Also, because the park is so old, you know, you were talking 1955.
Right.
The majority of the rides are not ADA accessible.
Oh, okay.
And with me having my physical limitations, it was a little bit of a trick trying to figure out the workarounds on this. And so I
okay.
went to City Hall, and they had a map specifically for disabled
okay.
people.
Okay.
And so there were certain rides, like in Fantasyland, where you actually entered in through the exit, and then other
right.
ones like Indiana Jones, where you can do kind of like what Walt Disney World's finally moving to. You can do a check-in, they'll give you a return time, and then
you
come
back. Sure.
So we were able to bounce off of the regular Fast Passes and then this disability pass as
sure.
well.
Sure.
And then go to other rides and do a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So that was really helpful with getting a lot of things done.
Right.
Because even though the Disneyland property is much smaller,
yeah.
there is more
small.
content. There
it's very,
is
very, very detailed, very
dense.
Rich and yeah, dense with stuff.
It was so different coming into the park. You know, logically knowing that it's smaller,
mm-hmm.
but realizing that you don't have to walk 10 minutes to get from one
right.
land to the other
right.
land.
Right.
And so you were able to be like, okay, well, we want to do this. Okay, we'll just walk over here real quick. Or, oh, we want to go have dinner here. We'll just walk over there real quick.
Right, right.
It was a completely different way we had to work the system. And honestly, made it easier.
Okay.
Interesting. I think.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is definitely a big downside with Disney World. And my last trip there, it was just like, right, this is going to be a 10-minute walk. We wanted to do things. We kept wanting to go between like Liberty Square and Frontierland. It's
mm-hmm.
like, here we go. Like every time. It's this huge monster to do it. So, yeah.
And if that's what you're used to, like us,
yeah.
completely different when you get into
right.
Disneyland
right.
and all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay. It's literally just right there.
Right.
Like I had sent you a picture of how close Frontierland
yeah.
and Adventureland's entrance signs are.
So weird.
And they're just like little hallways next to each other.
Right. It was really strange. I know. It's bizarre.
Everything is so close. And it's I want to say a more immersive feeling.
Okay.
Because it's just so compact and dense and like every square inch
Yeah.
Is Disney. And it, not saying that it's not like that in Disney World, but
There's no moments where there's not an active thing happening.
There's not a breath in the middle of everything here.
Right. Interesting.
Okay, so that's the basics on Disneyland. Now, Disney California Adventure is right next door. And what I mean by right next door is it is in the parking lot, the original parking lot.
Gotcha.
Of Disneyland. So instead of being able to park and walk to Disneyland, now parking is a few blocks away. And they have this, you enter in, you go through security and baggage, mm-hmm. and then you're in this little plaza. And I do mean little plaza.
Yeah.
Where you can choose to go north and have Disneyland, or you can go south and have Disney California Adventure. Which made park hopping so easy.
Yeah. Like, that reminds me a lot of Universal, where you, like, Islands of Adventure and Universal Studios are just like, oh, you just walk.
It's closer. Walking.
Is it really?
It is so much closer.
Wow.
Like, it is, not kidding you, you're not going to understand because you don't know Ian's house, but from one side of your house to the other side of your house.
Wow.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it is so close that literally we had decided, let's go look at the lights on Pixar Pier.
Right.
Because it's dark out and that could be pretty.
Right.
And so we like just bloop, 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 bloop. And we were all of a sudden in DCA.
Right.
And versus our mindset where we're like, okay, we have to take a bus, go through baggage and security, and then go through the turnstiles. And then we're finally in the park, which can take a whole hour to be able to do.
Yeah. No, it is. Everything you do in Disney World is an operation that you have to plan out in advance. So that is interesting. You can just be like, we're gonna go into California Adventure and just do that for a bit. And you did you have to get separate hoppers for that?
No, it's on the same little piece of paper.
But did you have to buy it separately, or it's just one thing?
I did get a hopper pass.
So you have to hop back and forth.
I did a hopper pass with a max pass. Because we were only going to be there for the 2 days. Well, technically 1.5. But the other thing that most people aren't aware of is the Disneyland parks are open super late. We're talking 11 midnight is regular close.
Wow.
Yeah. We're not used to getting those late closes unless you have a special ticket after hours pass.
Or you're in an extra magic hours for staying on property.
But then it's not even till midnight.
Usually it's like 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is one where on average it closes at 11
That's
o'clock
super
or midnight.
Weird.
So when Jason and I were talking about doing, you know, rope drop to fireworks.
Yeah.
Rope drop is at 8 o'clock.
Right.
Fireworks are at 10 o'clock, and then the park's still open another 2 hours
That's
for
crazy.
Rides. And then, you know, they close down the rides, and it's just like Disney World where there's still the hour to slowly, you know, shoosh people outside.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The stores are open and everything.
Wow.
It is a ridiculous amount of time that you're getting at the parks for your value.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Which is overwhelming because I kept being, again, in the Disney World mindset where I'm like, okay, so we have to get this done. We have to get this done.
Yeah.
I only have one day there. We have to get this done. Right. And then we like stopped at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and we're like, we still have another 10 hours available of park time. 10 hours. And we're like, there's so much stuff we can do in the 10 hours.
Right. That's crazy.
It's completely different mindset.
Yeah.
And it's so weird, but it's awesome and it's different. And if you are going to be looking for a Disney vacation to just do last minute, this would be the one to do.
Now, for you guys, you did not stay on property, which
that is correct.
Kind of hard to do at Disneyland. Is that correct? It's kind
yes.
of a pain.
Yes.
Either it's expensive or it's booked way out or whatever.
Yes.
But there's a lot of hotels around there.
So you can literally, like, you walk out of the park and you go through the baggage claim area. Then you go down this little, like, less than a half block where the buses kind of do their loop to drop people off. And then there is a Cold Stone.
Okay.
Like, literally right there.
Right.
That whole row is just hotels.
Right.
And our hotel was actually on the other side of the highway, which sounds like it's a lot. It was less than half a mile away.
Right.
And the Uber ride was $5.
Oh, my God.
And then boop, we were there. It was so quick and easy that no matter where you stay in that area,
it's easy to get there.
It is so easy to get there. It's not where, like in Disney World, where you have to either be on property and then it's still going to take you some time.
Right.
Or you have to drive forever.
Ever to get in. Yeah. The thing with the Disney World property is some people are like, it's not that fun. Like, it's so hard to get there. I'm like, now that I think about it because I've never not stayed on property. Mm-hmm. And one time we went to Disney Springs after staying off property for something else entirely. And it was like, oh man, this is a pain. Mm-hmm. So,
like I said, it was literally just a straight shot from our hotel.
Yeah.
And they did offer a bus to Disneyland if you wanted. It is $6 per day for all you want to ride. So if you wanted to actually be smart and like take the afternoon, take a nap.
Right.
Instead of trying to do rope drop to close.
Right.
You know, it's not bad. But when you're talking two people and it was $5 for an Uber, it was cheaper just for us to Uber out and Uber
back. Right. Absolutely. That's interesting.
So it's interesting. Now let's talk about the food a little bit.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
Some restaurants that you obviously want to have reservations for.
Right.
We didn't actually do any of the sit-down restaurants while we were there because we didn't pre-plan that. And it is what it is. But I will say all the quick service stuff that we had, the food is better in Disneyland.
Disneyland than Disney World? Okay.
Yes. And there's so many like staple Disney foods that you hear about, like the churro. And so we had like three churros while we were there. My favorite being the cookies and cream one.
Oh, wow.
It was delicious.
Yeah.
They have like the from scratch corn dogs in the hub of the Magic Kingdom. Our favorite food that we had twice because we were there was a corn chowder from the New Orleans quick service.
Sure.
We also had poutine from Fantasyland that was really good too, and like I'm still like I would love to have more of it.
Right.
And it's really good food. Well, everything that we tried there was really good.
Huh.
And it's the same mobile ordering that you can do. So you pull up the app, place your order, say I'm here, go to the window, and then grab it.
Wow.
Which worked out really well because if there was a line like the Mint Julep bar. So I had the mint julep and we had some beignets.
Wait, mint julep?
Yeah.
Do they serve alcohol on property now?
No, a mint julep is a non-alcoholic drink. It is like a lemonade style, but with mint tones.
Why did I think that was an alcoholic beverage?
Because they might serve it as an alcoholic beverage in other restaurant locations. But I see. Disney,
so Disney, they made it a non-alcoholic
mint julep. It is a non-alcoholic standard Disneyland drink.
Huh.
Like, it is so popular, the line was wrapping around the building.
Oh, boy.
And that's why I was like, mobile order, boop, 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 I'm here. And then I was able to pick it up.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But, yeah, the food was really, really good. And I would highly recommend, like, just exploring the food there, especially if you're with a group of people that can buy different food and then share it.
Share it around,
You know, mix it up and try all these different things. It was delicious. It's not like the you know, pluses and minuses that we have in Disney World because the property's so big, this one they can really focus on good food. And I think part of that is because they are a park made for their annual pass holders.
Right.
Unlike Walt Disney World, where they're just all the big swarms of people coming in new that they don't have to keep up with standards. but it was really good. I would really recommend going and trying a whole bunch of different stuff while you're there.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I went during the Christmas time.
Right.
And there are two major overlays that happen that are only available in Disneyland. So we checked them both out. We rode them both twice.
Okay.
The first one is the standard Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on the Haunted Mansion. And what they do is they take over that place completely. And I do mean completely.
Okay.
So the stretch room, the photos are different.
Okay.
The screen on the top changes.
Okay.
The photos that you see, and in Walt Disney World, you're on the doom buggy while you're going by the photos that change with the lightning.
Yeah.
Here, you're actually walking down a hall for them, but those are changed to nightmare ones.
Okay, okay.
They're like every aspect of this ride has nightmare topics.
Wow.
They even have like a, what do they say, like a 10-foot gingerbread house inside the ballroom. And it is ridiculous, and it's something where it's been a bucket list thing of mine because I wanted to see it, and now that I have, I had to go see it again.
Right.
But it is really neat. Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is smaller.
Okay.
So you're not going to be having as many of the different room options, but it was really neat to see, like, Madame Leota, instead of her crystal ball, is actually in a crystal ornament floating. And instead of the spell that she normally reads, she's reciting the 13 days of Halloween.
Oh, jeez.
Like, funny. The 12 days of Christmas. And so it's a fun twist, and then they have like the tarot card feeling for those 12, those 13 days of Halloween flipping around instead of the instruments.
Right.
They still do have the Pepper's Ghost in the ballroom.
Right.
But that's on top of the overlay of the Christmas stuff and a huge Christmas tree inside the ballroom too.
Okay.
The whole graveyard scene has like decorations on top of the tombstones other things that they're celebrating. Jack and Sally are there. They even have in the attic scene the big snake that eats all the presents.
Sure.
So he's up there, and I found out something interesting. All of the names that are referenced in the attic were people that were integral to this ride.
Sure. Okay.
So it was a nice little homage for them to have.
Yeah.
Really good overlay. I enjoyed it. This is the one where you can actually go down underneath the train tracks, walk down the hall, go on the ride, and then you're coming back up as well. So you can tell there's actual height variances and things that you're doing versus the one in Disney World.
Having to be compact with their with the efficient use of their space, because it's such a small place that they have there. Yeah.
And I got to see the Hatbox Ghost.
Nice.
Because he's still there.
Yes.
With his little Christmas... nothing. He didn't do anything special. He just was him.
Fair enough.
And then the other one that I didn't know happened was there is a Small World Christmas overlay.
I had no idea that was a thing either.
No.
Honestly.
And so when we show up to the park, I'm looking at the ride times, wait times for different rides, and Small World's at like a 50-minute wait. I have never seen Small World be more than maybe 15 minutes.
Right, right.
Not a 5-0. So we're like, what's going on? And then we find out it's a Christmas overlay.
Wow.
Not only that, but then they have a special projection show that they do on the front of it at night.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of like the jingle jam that they do on Tower.
Yeah, okay.
In Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
So there's the overlay and the projection show and all of that that happens. And it just started as we were getting on the ride for the first time.
Oh, wow.
So we got to see all of the lights light up with all the different colors.
Oh, wow.
It was really, really neat. And then we went in there, and first off, there's so much more to Disneyland's
Small World
than there is in Walt Disney World. And then you add Christmas on top of it, and every, and I do mean every single doll character had something associated to the holidays on it.
Wow.
Whether they were holding an ornament or a ribbon or a Christmas light or whatever. There were trees. There were new light up things. It was so overwhelming to see it that I could not like find a place to
focus.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That's
and amazing. So the song Small World is in the beginning mashed up with Jingle Bells.
Oh, boy.
And then at the end, it's mashed up with, and I'm forgetting it, another song.
Okay.
But it's another holiday song.
Okay.
And that's in the White Room.
Okay.
So it was so detailed that we had to go twice because I couldn't comprehend how much more there was to this ride versus even just the regular Walt Disney World one,
right.
And then add the Christmas overlay on top.
Right.
It was beautiful.
Wow.
Simply beautiful. And I totally understand the 50-minute wait on that one.
Wow.
So should I get into some of the rides that are not at World versus?
Yeah, I know there's a couple of big ones that you did. Yep. And I'd be curious to hear.
I did Matterhorn. Matterhorn bobsled is one of the first steel
roller coasters.
Yep. And it is definitely showing its age.
Yeah.
Pain-wise. it really, like, launches you around, and not in a Big Thunder sort of way.
Right.
But, like, rattling your bones sort of way.
Oof.
So if you have physical pains,
right,
honestly, I would stay away from it. It's not anything too thrilling. You're not really going to be missing out on any scenery, or there isn't anything, you know,
yeah,
inspirational in this that you're like, oh, I need to see
this. Right, right.
So if you want to ride on the first steel coaster, go for it. It was
not really your thing anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah.
So did it twice. Would do it a third time. Would do it a fourth time. It is the same car ride as Dinosaurs.
It's the enhanced motion vehicle, yeah.
Yep, but the scenery that you get into and the plot line and, like, the first time I rode it, I tried videoing it, and it's just pitch black, so there's no actual, camera footage of me.
Yeah.
The second time, I got to be in the driver's seat, so I totally played it up because I kind of knew what the ride was going to be like, and I'm like, okay, everybody, I'm just going to let you know, this is my first time driving, so let's see how I do. And I'm, like, fake turning the wheel one way or the other one. I'm like, everybody, talk! And then that sort of thing, and everybody was loving it.
That's hilarious.
So it was so enjoyable. And like I said, I would do it again.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. That is one that I want them to bring to, like, if they could bring it to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah.
100%. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I have heard that it's one of the best rides that they did in, you know, like, since the 80s, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is perfect.
That's super cool.
We did all the classic rides, the Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. We did Snow White's Scary Adventure. We did Pinocchio. We did Storybook Land. We did Roger Rabbit Toontown Spin.
Okay.
And so that was standard dark rides. They're just...
Yep.
They are what they are.
Yep.
Then we went over to DCA and the California Adventure area after the remodel.
Yeah.
That they did looks beautiful.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Really. Cars Land was amazing. We did the Racers and we did Mater's. You know, basically, it's the alien swirling saucers,
gotcha,
but with his tow trucks.
Gotcha.
And then we went to Pixar Pier, and we tootled around a bit, and it's just beautiful. It is a park where I didn't want to give it as much time in my limited
time you had.
Yeah. Because there was so much more of the classic park that I needed to see.
Yeah.
That I didn't give it the time it deserved. It did deserve more out of our experience there. And so when I go back, I'd love to be able to spend more time.
Yeah.
But...
So my question then with the Cars ride, the Racers,
mm-hmm.
Those are like... Test Track, right?
Correct. Although so much better
than
Test Track.
No, I'm sure. Test Track was very much prototype numero uno for that technology.
Yes.
And the funny thing about that is my understanding about that whole system in general is that they are literally slot cars. Like the old slot car rides. Uh-huh. It's literally like they just scale it up to people size and just get in. Like, that's what they did, which is kind of insane. But it's cool that they're trying to keep the technology going and using it in a more modern way.
I really, really enjoyed it. And the scenery of the whole area, it was movie exact.
Very cool.
So if you like the Cars movies, you will know every single corner of that main street.
Very cool.
It was so detail-oriented. It was wonderful.
That's very cool.
But yeah, it was a whirlwind of a trip.
Yeah.
And learned a lot. And we'll definitely be going back. And as I said, I wanted to bring you because there's so much that you would appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
I did not do the great moments with Mr. Lincoln. We didn't have, I'm going to say time. No, we didn't have energy.
Right.
And we did see the bench.
Okay.
Walt's bench. We did see the firehouse where
the apartment above.
Yep. The candle's not in there anymore because it's Christmas time. So they had a little Christmas tree.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yep.
Yeah.
One thing that I did learn as well is they do the holiday parade twice a day.
Okay.
They do their parades twice a day for the simple fact that there is no real backstage. So they take them down one route and then they hang out for hours until the parade starts again. And then they go backwards to take them back home. So it was kind of neat. I wasn't expecting that. We were down in the Main Street area near the firehouse when the final parade started.
Yeah.
And I was expecting it to take, you know, an hour to get to us. And here all of a sudden, bloop, 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 it came around the little, you know, entry area. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're in the beginning of the parade. Wow, that is lovely.
That's cool.
And so that allowed it to go by pretty quick as well. But yeah,
it is
something that you need to experience, especially if you are a Disney lover. And this is, like I said, one that you don't actually have to pre-plan too much.
Not nearly as much, yeah.
So you can do sporadic trips, or if you don't want to have a minute by minute schedule planned out, you can go ahead and, you know.
I feel called out.
We're planners, you and I.
Yeah, especially with Disney World.
You have to be. And this is an area where you don't have to be, and I really enjoyed it. So very nice. Did you have any other questions that you felt I needed to cover that I didn't?
A lot of the stuff that I'm curious about at this point is to do with on-site resorts. And I know there's fewer of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be hard for me. That's something I'll have to do some research on because I don't know like how far that books out, how it works in terms of like, do you get a room key that works with the part? Like, how does that stuff work?
And we'll have to figure that out when I take you next time.
We'll do some digging on that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So hope you guys enjoy this little glimpse at a Disneyland vacation versus a Disney World vacation.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, reach out to us. I'd be happy to go over the things that I learned if you need more specifics. But other than that, this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
And I'm Ian.
And we hope you have a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.